And this is The Science Show on ABC Radio National and through abc.net.au/rn, where over the years, here and in Occam's Razor, Professor Sol Ensel was a distinguished guest. Sol Ensel died on the 23rd of July, just a couple of weeks ago, after a great career as one of the world's top sociologists. This piece from The Science Show in 1981, when the Soviet Union still existed, celebrated Andrei Sakharov, who showed both scientific brilliance and a political conscience.
The special repute of the Russian physicist Andrei Sakharov also rests on this combination of intellectual achievement and moral stature. This was clearly reflected in the range of tributes paid to Sakharov at a two-day conference held at Rockefeller University, New York, to mark his 60th birthday. The conference papers were divided under three headings: Sakharov's scientific work, his activities in support of nuclear disarmament, and his campaign for human rights in the Soviet bloc. And the respect in which Sakharov is held was reflected in a decision announced by the president of the European Physical Society, Dr. Antonino Zichichi, who told the conference that more than 1,000 scientists from all over the world had undertaken to submit any papers written for publication during 1981 with the motto, "In honour of the 60th birthday of Andrei Dmitrievich Sakharov." Now, there are two particular points I should like to make about this remarkable man in this short tribute. First, it's worth remembering the scope and originality of Sakharov's scientific work. For too many people, his scientific attainments are epitomised by his title as father of the Russian H-bomb, which is at best a dubious reason for calling anyone a great scientist. Sakharov's contribution to the understanding of thermonuclear reactions is in fact much more constructive, since he was responsible for the basic idea behind the magnetic torus, or tokamak, used to contain hot plasmas. This device has emerged as the front runner in controlled fusion research and was foreseen in a paper written jointly by Sakharov and his long-standing colleague, the Nobel Prize winner Igor Tum, as far back as 1950. Other physicists reached similar conclusions at about the same time, but Sakharov and Tum seem to have been among the first. In addition, Sakharov correctly foresaw some of the problems involved in using a toroidal field and suggested solutions to them, which were later confirmed by experiment. Again, Sakharov was one of the first physicists to take seriously the concept of the quark, first put forward by the Americans Murray Gell-Mann and George Zweig in 1964. Whereas this theory originally aroused ridicule and hostility, Sakharov wrote a number of papers postulating that the proton, hitherto regarded as absolutely fundamental, was built up from quarks and was liable to decay. And he went on to show that this involved an asymmetry in the structure of the universe known as baryon non-conservation, which means that there is an excess of matter over antimatter. These ideas are now generally accepted, and their development has gained Nobel Prizes for a number of physicists. Finally, Sakharov has made an important contribution to cosmological theory. In 1967, he published a paper suggesting an explanation for the relationship between gravitation and the three other forms of fundamental physical interaction: electromagnetism, the strong nuclear force, and the weak nuclear force. Sakharov's ideas, if correct, could make a major contribution to the task of unifying all four of these forces in one grand unified theory, the task that occupied Einstein for the last 35 years of his life, and in which he was ultimately unsuccessful. It is worth noting that Sakharov's scientific accomplishments are comparable to those of other physicists who have gained the Nobel Prize. It is true that Sakharov has gained a Nobel Prize for peace, but perhaps the time is not distant when his scientific achievements will be similarly rewarded. At the New York meeting, some speakers were at a loss to reconcile Sakharov's work on the H-bomb with his subsequent concern for disarmament. This has also puzzled other people. In 1968, Sakharov's book entitled Progress, Coexistence, and Intellectual Freedom was published in the United States after the manuscript had been smuggled out of the Soviet Union. Harrison Salisbury, for many years the Moscow correspondent of the New York Times, wrote an introduction and a postscript, in which he speculates that Sakharov may be partly Jewish, which explains both his concern for Jewish dissidents in Russia and his disaffection with the Soviet regime. But there is no evidence for this attempt to find a psychological explanation for Sakharov's actions. Sakharov is part of a long and impressive tradition of intellectual dissent in Russian society. It is also arguable that his very participation in the H-bomb project gave him a chance to think about the broader implications of the development of weapons of mass destruction. In a letter written to the New York meeting, Sakharov himself said that scientists, engineers, and other specialists derive from their professional knowledge and their occupations a broad and deep understanding of the potential benefits, but also the risks, entailed in the application of science and technology. They also develop an awareness of the positive and negative tendencies of progress generally. And he concludes, every true scientist should muster sufficient courage and integrity to resist the temptation and the habit of conformity. The defense of justice, the international defense of individual victims of violence, the defense of mankind's lasting interests are the responsibility of every scientist.
Sol Ensel, Professor Emeritus at the University of New South Wales, who died in July, and that broadcast from The Science Show in 1981, with all the Ensel characteristics, precision, internationalist ideas, and anti-authoritarian. Vale.